Hey everybody, welcome to the inaugural episode of All I Think About is Crime. I'm incredibly excited to be getting this podcast up and running. Some of you have been waiting quite a while for me to get this out, and I'm so grateful for your patience and support during the startup process. Okay, so let's dive in. I'm Rachel Underwood, and All I Think About is Crime. The morning of April 4th, 2018, a 911 dispatcher in a rural area of Tennessee takes a call that initiates a massive manhunt for a 5-year-old nonverbal autistic boy. 3 years later, there are still so many questions. This is the case of Joe Clyde Daniels, Baby Joe. The first time I heard about Baby Joe was on April 4th, 2018, when my phone screamed out that high-pitched shrill it makes when it's going to tell me about a tornado warning or a missing child alert. Moments later, on my TV screen, I saw a sweet little blue-eyed boy with a short blonde buzz cut and a big smile stretched across his face, his perfectly spaced out baby teeth shining through. I remember taking a seat at the end of my bed, and tears immediately filled my eyes as I watched. News Channel 2, the local ABC affiliate in Middle Tennessee, reports an endangered child alert had just been issued by the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation. It was the same information that I'd just heard on my phone, but seeing his picture stopped me in my tracks. Tears were coming down my face, and I felt what I can only describe as a sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach. It was pure dread. At that moment, I knew something terrible has happened to Baby Joe. So for the past 3 years, I've stayed up to date on new developments in the case, and man, have there been some twists and turns along the way. I mentioned that this all started with a 911 call, and if you're anything like me, you'll want to hear it. This is the actual 911 call, and it may sound a bit scratchy or hard to understand at times, but it's worth the listen. And this recording will certainly be something that we'll want to discuss later in detail.
Call 1. On Wednesday, April 4, 2018, at 6:22 a.m., with a GMT offset of negative 300 minutes, Agent ID is, extension is 106.
When, where is your emergency?
Benson County, 911?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I live on 1112, Garnes Creek Road.
Mm-hmm.
And my son has a miscarriage, and we cannot find him.
Okay, how old is your son, sir?
He is 5.
Right, you said you live at 1112?
Yeah, well, I can.
Okay, and you said he has autism?
Yes.
Okay, how long ago was he last seen?
Last night.
Okay, all right. And what's his name?
His name is Joe.
What's his last name?
Daniels.
What was he wearing last night?
He was wearing pajamas.
What kind of pajamas? What do they look like?
I'd say, well, my wife would know better than I would on that.
Okay. Do you know how he got out of the house?
He must have locked the door.
Okay.
And he got out.
What's his date of birth?
7/3/12.
Okay, sir. And you said his name was Joe. What was his last name?
Daniels.
Daniels?
Yes.
Okay. And what's your last name, sir?
Daniels.
Okay, what's your first name?
Joseph.
All right, Joseph. And what does he look like?
He's got blonde hair. Mm-hmm. And blue eyes.
Okay.
And,
okay, blonde hair, blue eyes, anything else? How tall is he?
He's about, I would say four feet tall.
4 feet tall. How much does he weigh?
About 65 pounds.
65 pounds? Okay.
Yes.
Okay, do you know anywhere where he would go from your house?
I don't know, because we don't know an answer for one neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So I do not know where he would have gone.
Okay, is he nonverbal or is he verbal?
It's nonverbal.
Nonverbal?
Yes.
Okay, and how severe is his autism?
He's also having to stay with him too, so that doesn't help anything matter, so, but it's not so severe, but it's pretty significant where he can't talk and he's unable to communicate.
Okay.
And, we have to, he tries to pay himself, but we have to pay them.
Okay. All right, sir, and what's your phone number?
It's 29. 867-6984.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and did he take anything with him out of his room?
I didn't see anything that he took out of his room.
No stuffed animals, no blanket or anything like that?
No.
Okay. All right, Joe, we're going to get him in route to you, okay? Just hang out right there at 1112. We're going to get him out there to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Yep, you heard that right. Mr. Daniels actually says, "My son has escaped." Not to mention the tone of his voice seems to be missing that sense of urgency and franticness that one would expect a parent to have in this situation. He sounds more like a guy calling up to the local co-op to ask about the price of chicken feed. But like I said, we'll dig in deeper to the call soon. Right now, I want to lay out how the search started. Dixon County Sheriff's Office deputies are immediately dispatched to Joseph Daniels' home on Garners Creek Road in Dixon County. But specifically, this area is called Tennessee City. It's a really small, unincorporated community on the west side of Dixon County, bordering Humphreys County. First responders arrive at the home within 10 minutes of the 911 call. Records show that the call was placed at 6 a.m. Central Time and lasted about 6 minutes. So authorities would have arrived around or before 6:40 to 6:45 a.m. on April the 4th. The first deputy on the scene knows he's dealing with not only a missing child, but a missing 5-year-old boy who's autistic and nonverbal. So wherever Joe Clyde Daniels is, he's not able to tell anyone his name, where he lives, or even call out for help. This quickly raises the stakes of any missing child case. Of course, all missing child cases should be considered critical immediately, but a situation that involves a child with a developmental delay, well, it means he's in additional danger of harm and exploitation. Upon arriving, the deputy talks with the parents, Joseph and Crystal Daniels. And according to police records, Joseph Daniels explains that Joe Clyde must have pushed the coffee table over to the door, then used a key to unlock the padlock that was at the top of the door, and then left the home. The report also states that Joseph Daniels says he looked for his son for about 30 to 40 minutes before calling 911 to report him missing. For me, this sends up the second or maybe even third red flag at this point. The first is saying he escaped in the 911 call. Maybe the second red flag is that they have a padlock on their front door. On their front door, a padlock. In any event, my spidey senses are already working overtime to try and make sense of a growing list of odd circumstances. And folks, let me tell you, I believe if I woke up and couldn't find a 5-year-old, autistic or not, I would run through the house, then quickly scout around outside. And it would take way less than 30 minutes for me to decide I need to call in reinforcements. I mean, 5-year-olds don't just wake up and go for a jog or take off on an errand. At 5:30 in the morning, if a 5-year-old isn't in his bed or on the couch eating a fistful of Captain Crunch and watching cartoons or playing with the dog on the front porch even, something could be seriously wrong. Learning that Dad says he didn't call 911 for 30 to 40 minutes after discovering his son was not where he should be, well, this really bothered me. Since I live in Tennessee, and because I wanted to see some of this for myself and actually put my eyes on where this happened, recently I drove over to the little area known as Tennessee City to look at Baby Joe's neighborhood. And in this neck of the woods, it wouldn't be a situation where a kid would walk out his front door and run 30 feet to a friend's house to play before school. These properties are pretty spread out, with fields or tree lines and fences separating them. Okay, so let me get back to what we know about the initial timeline. We know that deputies arrived before 7 a.m. to talk with Joseph and Crystal. And from here, the search for Baby Joe begins. Law enforcement initiates one of the largest searches ever for a missing child in Tennessee at this point. By now, the Endangered Child Alert had been activated, which included information about Baby Joe's special risk factors. Emergency response agencies from all over Tennessee had quickly started to mobilize and travel to Dixon County. More than 20 emergency agencies responded and participated in the initial search. By 8 a.m., the first air support had arrived. The Tennessee Highway Patrol sent a helicopter to pick up the first responding Dixon County Deputy Sheriff on the scene, and this was Sergeant Daniel Baker, and they began the aerial search. While Sergeant Baker and the THP pilot are circling the area in the helicopter, on the ground, the first of several canine teams arrive. Water teams, boats, and rescue divers with submersible cameras are searching area ponds. And by 10 a.m., some of those ponds are being drained. Not long after this, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation dispatches its airplane with infrared cameras to search both Dixon and Humphreys County. We're going to break here for today. In the next episode, we'll pick up with the arrival of a team of U.S. Marshals and TBI agents and their search of registered sex offenders in the area. Have you ever wondered how many sex offenders are on the list in your community? We'll talk about those numbers in episode 2. Joe Clyde Daniels has been presumed dead, but his remains have never been found. If you have any information about the circumstances surrounding his disappearance or the whereabouts of his remains, please contact the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation at 1-800-TBI-FIND. That's 1-800-TBI-FIND. I'm Rachel Underwood, and all I think about is crime. Thanks for listening. As an additional case note, I want to let you know that the first responding officer in this case, Sergeant Daniel Baker, was murdered on May 30th, 2018, when he responded to a call about a suspicious vehicle. Sergeant Baker was a U.S. Marine Corps veteran and had served the Dixon County Sheriff's Office for 10 years. We want to honor him and show gratitude for the years of service he gave to his community through law enforcement and to his country as a Marine. Sergeant Baker was 32 years old. He left behind a wife and a baby daughter. His father and stepbrother are also in law enforcement. In the show notes, I've included the link to his Officer Down memorial page if you'd like to read more about him. And also, I would recommend listening to the Court Junkie podcast. It's episode 174, titled Officer Down. Sergeant Daniel Baker. I've also included the link to the Spotify episode of Court Junkie in the show notes.